Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining me live here in Mississippi, Kelly.
Good evening.
And good evening, and welcome to another edition of Cannabis. As always, I am your host, Glenn Q. I am also the co-founder and Tapper administrator and coordinator for the Creative Care Beacon, and we are the only Ohio chapter representing the Human Solution Internet. A little bit about that real quick. If you know, it's a 501c3 grassroots organization made up of a bunch of people that stand up and fight for human rights, no matter where it's at and where they are. The Human Solution will be there beside you. We have lots of chapters in a lot of states. So if you or a loved one are going through a human rights violation, I encourage you, please definitely reach out to the Human Solution International. And the best way you can do that is over at www.thsintl.org. Again, that's www.thsintl.org. And fill out the defendant's form there and let us know, because, again, if you don't do that, we don't know that you have a case going on. Good evening, Mom. Thank you for joining us. Laura, thank you for joining us and sharing us around and passing us. I greatly appreciate it, you guys. Listen, tonight we're going to talk about, well, I don't have a guest scheduled, but people are more than welcome to call in. And if you want to call in and have a discussion with me, or if you hear something that's said that you don't agree with or that's wrong, please definitely reach out to me by dialing 516-418-5539. Again, if you want to, it's 516-418-5539. I'll get that posted up there. That way it'll be logged in and people will be able to see it. Tonight we're going to discuss vets and vet access. I tried to reach out to a couple of vets, and of course, with this being Veterans Day, a couple of them were quite busy with what they had going, and I completely understand, and I do want to say thank you for all those that served and gave their time to give us our freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to say what we want, how we want. So again, thank you, vets. We're going to discuss that here in a few moments. The show is partly brought to you by The Holistic Cloud. Now, listen, if you guys are in the Belmont or the Bel Air area, northeast Ohio, definitely hop down there to 3048 Belmont Street and check out The Holistic Cloud. And if you can't, you can always check them out over at www.theholisticcloud.com. And definitely can ship that to you wherever you are, wherever you need, because it is holistic. Holistic needs. So definitely go check them out if you can, either in person at 3048 Belmont Street in Bel Air, Ohio, or by checking them out on the internet by going to www.theholisticcloud.com. Thank you. You know, real quick, I just want to, you know, this week the VA had a chance that they could help veterans. You know, veterans have been pleading for a long time to have the VA administration and the DOJ allow them to have access. And, you know, and that, you know, that to me, that's a taboo word. That's very allowing adults to consume what they need or want to begin with is wrong. I don't think that another person should tell a grown person or another person what they can consume and what they can't consume and what's good for them and what's not good for them. But anyway, listen, you know, this week they were talking with a guy named Jason Dunlap, who uses cannabis for his PTSD, chronic pain, and insomnia. While he's doing this, you know, he had to hide this from the VA doctors because it's taboo for these doctors, the VA doctors, to allow access for veterans, you know, especially relying on government care. You know, they had a chance. Let's see, read them through here. The federal government may be resistant not to be cause research, and that's what they claim. The VA administration during this week, they had a chance to sign a bill, sign a thing to allow, and it was introduced by a representative from California, Democrat Lou Carrera, introduced a bill that would instruct the VA to study cannabis for PTSD, depression, and a number of other diseases and things that vets often go through and suffer from. And the House and Senate that said even though that they would like to expand, and there's broad, you know, support for cannabis on both sides, none of the research was voted on in the chamber. None of them. We have the authority. We don't need you to micromanage us, is what the VA keeps saying to the government as they question us. But you know, there's a pushback. And it's horrible, you know, because we all know, watching, listening, hearing me, know that cannabis is absolutely medicinally beneficial for PTSD and for insomnia. Those are big things that, you know, cannabis helps with. Depression is another one that, you know, it does help with. And a whole host of other things. But instead of allowing vets to have access to cannabis, because we all know it works, they decided, no, that there needs to be more study. There needs to be more research. There needs to be more. How much more? It doesn't take rocket science. You know, we're all not, you know, consume cannabis, but we can push a few buttons on our laptops or our phones or whatever, bring up the internet and search cannabis medicinally. The broad spectrums that, you know, cannabis helps. And I mean, it's just beyond me that in today's society and with today's technology and with the information that is literally at our fingertips, that there is such a huge pushback telling people that, no, I don't think that, you know, we should allow these people that fought for our freedoms. I don't think that these people that, you know, put their lives on the lines on a daily day basis should have access to cannabis. We want to continue to give them these government, you know, funded and backed pharmaceuticals because that's what's good for them. Cannabis research is an excuse. For me, I think that every time I hear we need more research, we need more study, we need more, that is absolutely nothing but just a state. It's nothing but throwing a cover over what is important. And what is important is having cannabis access, period. Whether you're a vet, whether you're an adult, whether you're a mid-child, having cannabis access, being able to have control of our lives and have cannabis as part of our regimen, being able to have access. And it's not being allowed, you know, because we're beyond those terms. We're beyond those terminologies because it shouldn't be allowed anymore. It shouldn't be where you have to have a street. You know, we went up this past weekend to Michigan. A friend of mine had an event and worked by himself. The first day, the man was on his feet for 12 hours working this event. So we went up and helped him on Sunday. So, you know, kind of helped him out, alleviating some. And the amount, and I know if you follow me on Facebook, you've seen the videos. And the access, that is the way it should be allowed. People should be allowed to go to a market somewhere. And it should not cost us an arm and a leg for cannabis. But people should be able to go to a market somewhere and be able to have the access, being able to, not being allowed, but being able to have that choice of going there and purchasing your medicine. Of course, I do think that, you know, a lot of these grows and a lot of these guys that do grow and go to these things, I think that they should offer lab testing paperwork as proof as what's there. I do think that should be, you know, one of the things, you know, that people should know that they're getting clean, accessible medicine. So I do think that, you know, that it should, your medicine should come with a lab test. Just because, and it should become from a referable, not one that somebody can say, well, you know, this is what it costs for the test. Here's $500. This is what I'd like it to say. No. And, you know, a testing facility. And vets should be able to go to these markets and not have any fear of losing their pension, losing any of their monthly benefits, because those are important. If you serve, those are important. And I know that back in, you know, the early times when California was coming around and they legalized it and there was a lot of vets, that was a force to sign off on their records and pretty much saying that, you know, you didn't serve. If you're going to have access to cannabis, you're not going to have access to the VA. You're not going to have access to your benefits. You're not going to have access to all the things. And, you know, listen, there's a lot coming that comes with being a veteran that, you know, you can still go to the BX. You can still go to the on-base stores. And you know, I'm telling you, the on-base stores are a lot cheaper than regular stores and stuff for a lot of things. But it takes away you being a vet, having access to cannabis. And I do know that a lot of guys back in the time did sign off on that. They, you know, walked away from their entire, what they went through, what time they gave, they walked away from that in order to have access to cannabis because it was that important for a lot of them to have that access because the pharmaceuticals was killing a lot of people. It was hurting. And they are still today. They're still hurting people. You know, I think that the VA using the excuse of needing more research and development, and I think that's just smoke. It's just an excuse, again, to keep people dependent on the government as far as pharmaceuticals. You know, we know that that's the reason why pharmaceuticals were invented, that were brought around anyway, is to control the population, is so we would do what they wanted. We do have a caller online, so we are going to go live online. Good evening. Welcome to CannaViews, and thank you for calling in.
How you doing, Glenn? Thank you for your service, buddy.
Hey, I thank you for yours, and I appreciate.
Yeah, in Missouri... In Missouri, the taxes that they collect for everyone that buys their cards, their access cards here, go to the and the sale of cannabis goes to the VA. But yet, and the VA don't want nothing to do with it. They talk about studying it, but if you get caught using it, especially if you haven't got a permanent disability. Check, they will just strip you of your check and everything that the VA has for you.
They do. And, you know, I know privately that, you know, they do this and they've done it in the past to a lot of guys. They've done it to a lot of people that wanted access to cannabis. They have completely stripped them of, you know, the service that they gave, the time that they gave, just because of having access to cannabis. And that's wrong. I think it's not right. And I do know that there, you know, like I said, I know factual that there was a lot of people that had to do that in order just to have access for cannabis because of pharmaceuticals. So did you, you heard about what happened in D.C. this past weekend? Yes. I think it happened on Tuesday or Monday. I think it happened Monday, and they came out with the report Tuesday.
Well, here, this is what the president or the Biden's what he thinks about cannabis. All he will say is that, well, the only thing I can do is taking maybe in the future, put it up for a study because, you know, I mean, he won't say anything about it. And then all these other guys there in the Congress are out there fooling people, making them think that they're going to end prohibition if they get voted in as Democrats and all this other stuff. And it's just putting a fishing lure in front of you just to drag you in. And it's never going to go anywhere in Washington with the environment we got now, especially when you got people like a lot of the Republicans that are in there that run the Senate and the Democrats. Most people don't even know that the medications, all the medications that the VA has comes from China. They don't even get inspected by the FDA. They only get inspected by the VA. They're allowed to self-govern their own medicine, and China owns the VA because all the medicine that the VA gives out is from China.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
It's never going to go anywhere.
I don't know what, there we go. You know, they forget that, you know, people, we're not that dumb. And a lot of us, you know, would rather have the cannabis than, honestly, the time served and what we went through and what we did. So I do commend a lot of, and I thank all veterans for everything that they did and they gave for us, even though that they don't allow you to have the access. Being a veteran, having your benefits, and carrying on with your life, it's a shame. I think Laura says it's your health. You have the yes, you absolutely do have to be proactive about it. You're right, Laura. So yeah, Dana, I greatly appreciate, you know, your service and what you did for the country and given time as well. And happy Veterans Day to you. Let me ask you, for you, having cannabis as an access, you know, as an accessible medicine, compared to pharmaceuticals, if you had to give up cannabis, would you go back on pharmaceuticals?
Absolutely not. Pharmaceuticals, I ended up in the hospital 6 years ago and on life support for 31 days, and it was because of a side effect that caused a massive lung infection that came from one of the pills I was on. And then when I got put in jail because after I was told I could grow, took all my medicine away, and some of the medicines I was on, like mitropine and some of the psychiatric medicine, and hydrocodone, all that stuff, you can't just stop at cold turkey because it could kill you. So just think, a lot of people that are on a lot of pharmaceuticals and they end up in jail, they lose their medications. And that's where you see why a lot of people die when they first go into jail, because they cut all their medications off and just let them die. And it's wrong. And the VA knew about my...
I greatly appreciate, you know, yours. And that's where you see why a lot of people die when they first go into jail, because they cut all their medications off.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's fine.
I was open completely from the time I started cannabis in the VA. And, of course, they're against it, but at that time they didn't have a contract. And then they come up with this stupid contract, which is completely unconstitutional, making all the veterans sign it, saying if you get caught using cannabis or any other drug outside of the VA, that they will cut off all your medication and take your check away. And, you know, I haven't been to the VA in over 2 years now, and I haven't even gotten a phone call from the VA in 2 years or even an appointment for my yearly checkup in 2 years, because they know that I'm a cannabis user I use CBD. They're against that. They're against anything natural for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they are. And, you know, along with, you know, a chance of losing your VA benefits and your monthly checks and that you come, you also face a steeper penalty and steeper time in jail if you are a veteran and you get caught with medicine. The access for vets is like none. They're, you know, having access for vets is almost worse than living in Indiana. They're an absolute zero tolerance state, and the VA is a total zero tolerance as far as, you know, cannabis. Which again, and it goes back to saying that, you know, how, you know, one individual or a group of individuals can have that much power and that much say whether you're allowed, and it goes back to having the control and having that under thumb, because then they can allow you. They're being the nice ones. They're allowing you to have the access instead of just being able to have access to it. So then by them doing this and them, you know, them allowing you does give a certain percent of the fact that they're under a thumb still.
Yeah, I'm very lucky because I had already started cannabis for my treatment to get off of opioids and stuff that the VA had me on, and they hadn't made me sign a contract. They tried to, and something messed up with the computer, but the next time they got me, and they forced me to sign the contract or lose everything, and the very minute I signed that contract, the very next blood test, I got a call at nighttime telling me that all my that I can no longer get any of the pain medicines or anything like that from them because I tested positive for cannabis. And I said, well, I really don't care because I don't take it anymore because of cannabis. So I mean, and you figure people that are really addicted to the opioids that they have, and then they find something or they get caught using cannabis, they cut their drugs off cold turkey. And these people have no alternative but to go to the streets because they need to find something.
Yeah, yeah, and that's absolutely the way it is. And because they have that power. And it's because, again, when they sign them bills and they give, you know, a little bit of something to the people, it's really not giving a little bit of something to the people because they have allowed people again, and I'm gonna keep screaming that because I really hate the fact that, you know, that people are allowed to have access to cannabis instead of just having access to it, and stripping somebody of their veteran rights is a horrible thing, and I think what the administration is doing, they should think about and look at a lot of states and look around at what is going on with what states, and maybe they should model some of their stuff after, Michigan, some of it after New York. They seem to have done it right. Dana, tell us, you know, you are the chapter coordinator for the Hope for Change and End of Prohibition Court Support, Missouri Chapter of the Human Solution. Other than Adele Aaron, and Aaron Wisdom and Zach Salazar, what other cases is there more cases going on there that in Missouri than them?
Well, not that I've heard of. I heard of a bunch that's been arrested, but they were with all kinds of other drugs too, so there ain't nothing I can do about that. But they arrested in just south of Kansas City a 74-year-old man. I took the alert up there to get in there. I don't know if he had a patient card or anything like that, but he had 3.5 ounces. Yeah, and evidently he was probably using it for medication use or something. It really doesn't matter to me. He was 74 years old. He had the right to use it if he wants to. It's a plant. And they put a $25,000 bond on this guy over 3.5 ounces of pot. And in this state, it's supposed to be illegal to take and put a big bond or any bond at all for a nonviolent crime. But when it comes to pot, cannabis in some of these counties, these people are nuts. they're so prohibitionist, you know, I mean, sorry to say, because I'm a Christian myself, they think they're such a high-calling Christian to take and put people away that use a plant. And I did a lot of studying on that. And it goes all the way back to King James. So, and I mean, that's why they don't want you to take and know history. I mean, know your history and you'll know what to do. But in this state,
right.
it made people so mad that you know, people weren't going to put in adult use in this state. But now they got an initiative to end prohibition altogether, and it'd be done as a constitution. So there'll be anybody that's been arrested for it, all charges will be dropped. There'll be no more anything when it comes. It'd be just like buying a tomato from the store then. And if it was like that everywhere, cannabis wouldn't cost no $300 or $400 an ounce. It'd be $20 an ounce at the most.
Right. I mean, other than the price and having access, I think those are the key things is, you know, people having the ability to have access to cannabis in any form they need. To treat any way they need. And it should not be limited to just one particular disease or another. It should be a person is sick, period. They need cannabis, period, and allow them to be able to have that access.
It saved my life. That's all there is to it. Between cannabis and essential oils and CBD, all the natural stuff, it saved my life from dying in that hospital, being on life support for 31 days. And I have not, since I left the hospital, I haven't been at the hospital one time, no more surgeries. I mean, I'm walking a mile a day. It's just been awesome. My health is getting better and better. It's not a process overnight, but you just stick to it and you do the right things. And use the stuff that God gave us. Your body gets more healthy and younger than it does the way it was before.
All right, it does. Cannabis is, you know, it activates your system, period. And the more cannabis that you have in, you know, the your levels are eventually going to hit that water wheel that's going to expand, and then your system is going to kick in and do what it's supposed to do. And sometimes, you know, it does take, like you said, Dan, it does take a while. To get your levels to that point and to get your body and get you feeling back to the way that you're supposed to feel. But enough cannabis access will do that, and being able to have that access for every individual that chooses to, and that's what it should come down to, is if you choose or not choose to use cannabis as in part of your daily living. And that's what it really comes down to. And I think that, you know, going back, that the VA is hindering themselves, and I think that they're putting a big damper on, you know, healing our veterans. You know, I hear a lot of them talking about wanting to heal and help these, you know, veterans transition and get back to a normal life. Well, then allow them to have that cannabis access so they can get back to some kind of normal life. And that's what I say to them. That's, you know, my advice to the VA and the VA administration and the people that you know, allow that. So, Dana, thank you very much for joining us. How can people get a hold of you if they need help there in Missouri?
Well, I got a couple pages on Facebook they can find me. It's Dana Wayne Bland, and that's who I'm under. But you can get a hold of me on there. I'm Hope for Change in the End of Prohibition, the Human Solution International Chapter Court of Support, and we'll try to take and give you all the court of support that you need if you get arrested. So far, things look pretty good in this state, because the only thing I see is the old arrests that are still out there, the idiots that won't let go of the charges, and they just keep making it last longer and cost more and more, and they never do anything. But I do feel blessed that we passed Amendment 2 in this state. It might cost $100 to grow, but to me, that's really, really worth it, because I can grow more than I can ever use.
All right. And that's what it comes down. you can grow enough for yourself that you have access to what you need when you need it.
Yes. Yeah, we can grow plenty.
Right. Absolutely. Again, Dana, thank you very much for joining us. As always, you know, it's a pleasure having you on and talking with you. Thank you very much for calling in. You guys,
thank you.
Dana Bland, you guys are more than welcome to go over to his page and check him out. You know, Dana W. Bland right there on Facebook is what you can do. You know, we go through our day-to-day lives, a lot of us, and I'm not saying every single one, but a lot of people don't stop and think about, you know, the access that people have, you know, what patients have to actually go through that's just in a medical state, you know, to have access. Now, think about that for a veteran. You know, every one of us patients that have gone through the process and has to jump through the hoops in order to get the government to send you, and it's your state government, to send you that little card telling you that you're allowed to have access to cannabis. And now, it's more restrictive for a veteran. And this is somebody that has gone and served their time, has fought for their country. And a lot of times these men and women have watched their brothers and sisters fall. And it does something, you know. It's not, you know, they make injuries that we can't see, bottom line. And to tell that person that, here, take these pills, but don't use cannabis. And these pills aren't working. Well, we'll give you a few more and take a couple more. So, and it comes to that. It always does come down to ending up having to take more and or different, adding something more to what you're already taking in a regimen of pharmaceuticals. But access to cannabis is just that. I'm not a doctor. I'm an advocate. But I do know what works for me and what I'm able to do without all the pharmaceuticals, because I do consume the cannabis to the levels where I do consume them, that I have replaced a lot of the pharmaceutical medicines that I normally would take and have to take. Because I do take the amount of cannabis I do. And the cannabis, you know, for me, allows me to eat. It allows me to get through the pain that I do have. Because, listen, having Crohn's is not, it's not a walk in the park. It's excruciating. It's excruciating, period. But for me to have cannabis over pharmaceuticals means that I'm able to get up and move around. I'm able to have a life, a lucrative life that, you know, that is generally productive. And where I looked at where I'm now and to where when I had, you know, pharmaceuticals, it was, I was a 26-year-old man whose mother had to take care of them. Because I was on a lot of pharmaceuticals, taking injections and autoimmune blockers, immune builders, and the pain medicines and the vitamins and steroids. And it weighs on a body. It weighs on a person. And it got me to the point where I was going from my bed a few feet to a potty chair. And using the bathroom in my room right there. And my mother cleaning up for me because I couldn't have the strength to make it two rooms away to a bathroom because of pharmaceuticals. I quit pharmaceuticals and found cannabis and used cannabis. And I would not go back to the pharmaceuticals. And I'm thankful, I knock on wood every day that, you know, when Peggy and I went through our case, that we were in, you know, it's something that has set precedent in the state, and it's changed, it's case law. And it has changed because we have heard it from a lot of people that because Peggy and I fought our case and that we were bonded, it was in our bond that we were to use cannabis. Even though that they were charging us with the possession and use of cannabis, they were bonding us in our court papers and with through court that we were to use and possess cannabis. So I'm failed to understand how and why they continue to charge us, but we do know why. But going through that, we were fortunate enough that we were able to have our access to cannabis. And even now that we are on, I don't really see as on felony probation, even though that we are serving a 5-year sentence of felony probation, we still have access to cannabis. We're still allowed to consume. So that's something fortunate for us, you know, that we've been able to continue to medicate because I went 3 months almost without access to cannabis. We both did. I was down to a very unhealthy weight. You can see the ribs and my bones sticking out. I was really weak all the time. And it was because I was regressing back to where I was going to need. I was being forced into the point where I was going to have pharmaceuticals. But I'm fortunate that we hit that deadline, that we were able to gain access to cannabis through court hearings and court proceedings, that we were able to obtain that. And I was able to get healthy again and be back to where I'm at. But I think, you know, having access for everyone to have access, including our veterans. And I think that, you know, telling somebody that they can go and lay down their life, you know, write a check, a blank check for their life to the United States, and they can go wherever they're sent to do whatever they're told to do. A lot of times it's being told to do things that you don't rightly agree with, but you have no choice but to do them. But to do those things, to serve your country, to lay down your life and give your life, and to come back and be told that you can't do certain things. If you want to give a call in, the number again is 516-418-5539. Talking about veteran access tonight. And the show is brought to you partly by the Holistic Cloud. If you guys are in the Northeast Ohio area and you're close to Bel Air, please go down to 3048 Belmont Street and check out the Holistic Cloud for all of your holistic needs and smoking assistance. He has a lot of nice glass pieces and pipes and tobacco use products in there. So please go down and check out the Holistic Cloud if you get a chance and you're in the Bel Air, Ohio area. And if you're not and you're anywhere else, you can definitely go check them out at www.theholisticcloud.com because all of his products and things are able to be sent anywhere in the United States. So please go check them out. So, you know, we, I another thing that we like to tell you is we would like to see pictures posted. And I know public access, we talk public access, our public awareness and public support a lot because that is important. It's important not only to people going through a human rights violation case, but it's very important to people like Lance Gore, who is serving a 10-year sentence for having cannabis and cannabis access. So if you don't mind, you know, pop a little free Lance Gore, and you can tag Carrie Cannon and or Tracy Gore Pike in that picture, and they will get it put in a collage and sent off to where it goes. Again, drop all charges against Adele and Aaron Wisdom and Zach Salazar, because no one, we strongly believe that no one should go to jail for cannabis. And on the same side of that is everybody should have equal access to cannabis in order to be able to heal and treat themselves in any way and fashion that they see fit. Now, I don't know Like I said, I've seen a lot of different programs in a lot of different states, and I think that Michigan being there in Michigan this past weekend gave me a big insight of what their program and how their state runs it. And it's very impressive. And you know, I'm very appreciative of my friend allowing me to come up and help him over the weekend and working the booth for him and with him. It was a great pleasure, and I do appreciate it. You know, and you guys, I appreciate you all for joining us and being here every week and supporting the show and everything. It's great to have you guys. Until next week, I'm going to try to get a hold and have Bill Smith Jr. come on, because I do want to talk about what happened with the midterm or the vote, what happened the other day with voting. And I know that several of the cities that he was working on had passed. I'm going to talk with him about the Sensible Coalition movement and what they are doing. So tune in next week as we try to talk with Bill about that. And if not, we will have somebody else. So you guys have a good week, and thank you very much for joining us.